Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of our English feature program. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Coming up today, Pope Benedict arrives in Amman, Jordan, on a pilgrimage that will take him on to Israel and the Palestinian territories. We hear from a spokesman for the small Catholic community in Jordan. Our correspondent for this visit tells us about the press conference the Pope gave to journalists on the flight over, and Jordan's ambassador to the Holy See talks about the importance of interfaith dialogue and cooperation for her nation and for the whole Middle East region. Faith relations, religious freedom, and peace in the Middle East. These three challenges were at the heart of Pope Benedict's words on Friday as he arrived in the Jordanian capital Amman at the start of his week-long journey to the Holy Land. The Pope is spending the first 3 days of this pilgrimage in Jordan, visiting the biblical sites of Mount Nebo, from where Moses first looked out across the Promised Land, and Bethany beyond the River Jordan, where Jesus is believed to have been baptized by John the Baptist. As he was welcomed at Amman's international airport by Jordan's King Abdullah and Queen Rania, together with local religious and political leaders, the Pope said he was looking forward to blessing the foundation stones of two new churches at the traditional site of Jesus' baptism, an important sign, he said, of religious freedom and respect for different faith communities in this overwhelmingly Muslim nation.
The opportunity the Jordan's Catholic community enjoys to build public places of worship is a sign of this country's respect for religion. And on their behalf, I want to say how much this openness is appreciated. Religious freedom is, of course, a fundamental human right, and it is my fervent hope and prayer that respect for all the inalienable rights and dignity of every man and woman will come to be increasingly affirmed and defended, not only throughout the Middle East, but in every part of the world.
At the start of this journey that will be marked by significant interfaith encounters in the three countries he's visiting, Pope Benedict stressed his own deep respect for the Muslim community. He also paid tribute to the leadership shown by Jordan's present and previous kings in promoting a better understanding of Islam and confounding those seeking to promote a so-called clash of civilizations between the Islamic and Western worlds.
Now, since some years have passed since the publication of the Amman message and the Amman interface message, we can say that these worthy initiatives have achieved much good in furthering an alliance of civilizations between the West and the Muslim world, confounding the predictions of those who consider violence and conflict inevitable. Indeed, the Kingdom of Jordan has long been at the forefront of initiatives to promote peace in the Middle East and throughout the world, encouraging interreligious dialogue, supporting efforts to find a just solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, welcoming refugees from neighboring Iraq, and seeking to curb extremism.
Welcoming Pope Benedict to Jordan, King Abdullah spoke of the central role of faith in the life of his country today.
With your visit to us, you begin a historic journey to the heartland of faith for Christian and Muslims alike. What is home to us, we make home to you. Here in Jordan, where faith in the one God found ancient roots, here among the Jordanian people, where faith in God remains central to life itself, we open our doors.
The Jordanian king also stressed the vital need for Christians and Muslims to work more closely together to promote understanding and conflict resolution.
Voices of provocation, ambitious ideologies of division, threaten unspeakable suffering. And we must reject such a course for our world's future. Today, together, we must renew our commitment to mutual respect. Here and now, we must create a new and global dialogue of understanding and goodwill.
King Abdullah II of Jordan there welcoming Pope Benedict at the start of his pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Among the religious leaders, politicians and dignitaries greeting Pope Benedict on his arrival at Amman Airport on Friday was the Jordanian ambassador to the Holy See, Dina Kawar. I talked to her by phone just before the Pope's arrival to find out more about the interfaith efforts in her country and about the importance of this papal visit for the people of Jordan.
For us, of course, the visit of any Pope is important from a religious point of view, but you're asking me a wider question. And the importance of such a visit is, first of all, it really fits in the interreligious dialogue that we have been undertaking since a very long time. And this is one of the things that His Majesty and the Jordanian people give a lot of importance to, which is to have this continuous relationship with the Western world and with the religious communities abroad. As you know, there is a Christian community in Jordan, a community that is well integrated and that has its place in Jordan, actually. And therefore, the visit of the Pope does consolidate this dialogue between us and between the Muslim and Christian, the Catholic Church.
Can you tell us a bit more about the Christian community there? It's a very small percentage of the population, isn't it?
Yes, in Jordan there are around 200,000 Christians, among which 50,000 are Roman Catholics. As you know, in a society of 5.5 or 6 million inhabitants. However, in spite of the numbers of Christians, we have to realize that there are 9 Christian parliamentarians within 110, so they are very well represented in the system as a number of ministers. And within the business community, it happens to be that many of them are from the Christian community. So it is a community that I cannot say it's integrated. It's more than integrated. It has its place, and there's no question about their importance in the community.
Jordan also has some of the most significant sites, including, of course, the place of Jesus' baptism there on the River Jordan, and the Pope will be visiting some of these sites. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yes, we are so happy that this visit will take place to the site, because for us it is going to be an important recognition of the site. As you know, it took a while to find the exact place. So this visit is very important because he will be inaugurating the first churches that have been done on site. So for us, it is a very, very important, and the Christian community is waiting for His Holiness' visit with much attention.
You mentioned also the importance of interfaith dialogue, and the Pope will be holding a key meeting with Muslim leaders and visiting the main mosque there. Tell us more about these events.
Yes, actually, I think it's on the second day he will be visiting the mosque in downtown Amman, and he will be meeting the Muslim religious leaders and some of the diplomatic corps and some of the rectors of the Jordanian universities who will be present, because, as you know, the dialogue is not only related to the Muslim religious leaders, but also to the civil society. So, as you know, His Holiness will be probably speaking to this community, and there will be an exchange of opinions. And, of course, the fact that this visit is taking place at this time has much of its importance because, as you know, the tensions that have been going on in the world and the political tensions that have a religious aspect to them gives this visit a particular importance. So we are looking forward to this part of the visit.
As you say, on a political level, of course, Jordan plays an important role there in the whole Middle East picture. Do you hope that in any way, on a more political level, this visit can help to push forward the peace process in the region?
Well, of course, the word and the presence and the political weight of His Holiness is very important. We not only are looking forward to his visit to Jordan, but as you know, he will be going to the Holy Land, the continuation of the Holy Land, if I may say so. And the relationship of His Holiness with Israel is very important in that regard. And it's very important to consolidate certain issues and certain points in this relationship because, as you know, we are all heading in the same direction, whether we like it or not. There is an important need to acknowledge that there is no solution without a two-state solution, and the importance of Jerusalem, which is the holy city for the three religions, of it being the capital of two states, and also the significant city that represents the three communities. And therefore, the presence of His Holiness is of extreme importance because of the tensions that do exist in Jerusalem at this moment. So we really want to identify the importance of the Christian church in Jerusalem, as well as the Muslim, of course, but the Christian, I mention it because of the recent events that we're seeing with the Christians leaving the city because of economic difficulties and going to immigrate, and it's making the community a little bit in danger in Jerusalem, and we wish that their presence be consolidated.
Pope Benedict's predecessor, of course, John Paul II, also made a similar pilgrimage nearly a decade ago now and addressed many of these similar problems, including Christians leaving the region, the search for peace in this very troubled part of the world. How much do you think has changed in your own country, in Jordan, since that time?
Well, If I may, before I discuss what has happened in Jordan, unfortunately, going back to the issue of Jerusalem, the Christians of Jerusalem, we have seen that the immigration of Christians in Jerusalem has accelerated, unfortunately, and sadly enough. And so we're hoping that there is an end to this phenomenon. So the numbers are decreasing, and it is unfortunate to the mosaic of the city of Jerusalem because, as you know, there's an important equilibrium and balance that we need to maintain. Going back to Jordan, the last visit of His Holiness, I must say that the situation has not improved at all. As you are aware, the peace process, if I may call it so, because it has been not advancing at all during so many years, is really at a difficult point. And His Majesty has been trying during his last encounter with President Obama to put forward certain ideas that he has discussed with his Arab League colleagues during the last encounter in Doha, which is to put forward certain points and saying, you know, we have to look at the eventual idea of having two states. There's no way out of it. Two states, a Palestinian next to an Israeli state with boundaries that are fit. And the Israelis have certain commitments that they have to accept, which is removing the blockages and making life for the Israelis more possible, but also the main issue, which is the settlement issue that needs to be stopped. We cannot continue at this rhythm of settlements that is increasing, and especially around Jerusalem. All these settlers are just changing the demographics of the possible future Palestinian state, and is making any solution almost difficult. So many of these points have been discussed in Washington, and His Majesty is now coming back with certain ideas after this visit and will be consulting with his Arab leaders. He was in Saudi Arabia yesterday to start and try to put a plan to go forward in this regard, of course, with the help of the Europeans, which is a major partner in this peace process. So it is very difficult, but one has no choice but to advance and put forward ideas and to continue. We cannot afford say it's not working, then let's forget it, because it's only time is so important in this issue.
Thanks there to Dina Kawar, Jordanian ambassador to the Holy See. As you heard there, the ancient Christian community in Jordan makes up less than 4% of the population, but it enjoys good relations with the Muslim majority. Father Rifat Bader is spokesman there for the Latin Patriarchate, which oversees the church in Jordan, as well as in Israel and the Palestinian territories. As organisers were putting the final preparations in place for Pope Benedict's arrival, Father Rifat told me more about recent developments in interfaith relations.
Well, the interreligious dialogue, especially the Islamo-Christian dialogue, is not new for the Jordanian mentality, because it started with the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue and the Institute of Ahlul Bayt in Jordan. From 1984, we started to have many conferences, many academic dialogues between Christians and Muslims, but also the basement of the Jordanian society is also with the dialogue, with this orientation, because we have the dialogue of life, the daily life is shared among the Christians and their brothers, the Muslims. We are co-citizens, so it is not new, it is not strange to have interreligious dialogue in Jordan. But we are looking for the visit of His Holiness to strengthen this sense of dialogue, this sense of mutual respect between the followers of all religions, especially the Islam and Christianity. We are looking for this visit to open the horizons, the new horizons, the new doors of dialogue, not only on Jordan, but also in the Arab world, in the Islamic world, in the whole world. We need always to emphasize of the orientation of the church. This is the choice of the church to dialogue with the other religions. This is the dialogue also that emphasizes the role of religions to build peace and to keep this peace for always.
Pope Benedict is blessing the cornerstones of two new buildings, isn't he? One church and one university, a Catholic university. Tell us a bit more about both these places.
We are looking for this visit to strengthen and to show to the world the good presence and positive presence of the Catholic Church in Jordan. The first thing is the institutional presence, which give academic and cultural service for the society, for all the citizens, which is the first university, which is for the Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem, and supported by the Catholic institutions in the world. The academic presence for the church in Jordan started from the second half of the 19th century. And now we will have the first university. This is the first step. The second step is when His Holiness will visit also Regina Pace Center for the Handicapped Persons. It will show that the church cares for the sick people and the needy people. We have also the first church besides the baptism site in Al-Maghdas near the Jordan River. It will be also to emphasize the good spiritual presence for the church and for the Christians in general and Catholics in particular.
Finally, Pope Benedict will also be visiting Mount Nebo, the site where Moses looked out over the Promised Land. Can you describe this for us?
Yeah, so this visit also is coming 9 years after Pope John Paul II's visit to that place. And we still keep in mind this standing up beside the serpent, the iron serpent. So we are looking to see Pope Benedict looking for Jerusalem, looking for the Holy Land, where he will also call for peace and justice. This is a holy place in Jordan, but which shows the Holy Land, especially the city of Jerusalem, where His Holiness will go and will pray for the unity and peace between the sons of Abraham, Jewish, Muslims, and Christians. We are looking to see or to listen also to the call of peace, to the call of respect, to the call of justice coming out from His Holiness in order to be a sign of hope, a sign of respect, and a sign of peace that will come one day. We hope so.
Thanks there to Father Rifat Bader, spokesman for the Catholic Church in Jordan. The head of our English programme, Sean Patrick Lovett, is travelling with Pope Benedict throughout this journey to the Holy Land. I caught up with him just after the Pope's arrival in Amman to find out more about a press conference that the Pope gave to journalists on the journey over. So, Sean, interfaith dialogue was also, I understand, one of the questions that the Pope was talking about on the plane on the way over to Amman there.
Actually, Philip, it seemed to be the overriding theme. There were four questions that Father Lombardi had gathered from the press corps. It was a small aircraft and a relatively short flight, so he chose to pose the questions on behalf of the journalists aboard. And all four questions somehow turned into comments. Interfaith dialogue. The message that came through was that the Pope wants this to be a pilgrimage on which he says he can make a concrete contribution to peace in the area. And he laid out three ways in which the Catholic Church can do that: through prayer, through forming consciences, and through relying or speaking to people's sense of reason. The interfaith questions were number two and three, regarding Jews and Christians, and then Muslims and Jews. And the Pope's answer to those two questions was very similar. In essence, he was saying we need to go back to our common roots, starting from the Old Testament. And from there, we have to make up for the linguistic misunderstandings that have grown up over the years.
Those same themes were also at the heart of the first speeches there, the Pope's speech as he arrived in Amman, and also the words of King Abdullah, the King of Jordan.
The King's speech kind of really pleasantly surprised a lot of people. It was extraordinarily positive and open, which shouldn't have really, I suppose, have surprised people so much if they know where he stands in terms of wanting to promote peaceful dialogue. He made a point of underlining the fact that Christians and Muslims share equal rights in Jordan, and we had a wonderful, warm example of that at the afternoon meeting at the Regina Pacis Center, where there was a smattering of different confessions gathered together with the single purpose of welcoming Pope Benedict XVI.
Thanks there to Sean Patrick Lovett, who will be keeping us up to date with all the events on this pilgrimage to Jordan, Israel, and the Palestinian territories. Directly after his arrival in Amman, Pope Benedict went to visit the Regina Pacis Center for the Handicapped, founded by Archbishop Salim Sayeh, the vicar for the Latin Patriarch in Jordan. There, the Pope met with patients and healthcare workers, as well as with a group of young people who had been organizing a rousing welcome for him. Chris Altieri reports.
The Holy Father's first appointment with the faithful was at the Regina Pacis Center for the Handicapped in Amman. The Pope has called his visit a pilgrimage, and he told the faithful gathered at the Queen of Peace Center that he, like countless pilgrims before him, has come to satisfy the profound wish to draw solace from and to venerate the places where Jesus lived, the places which were made holy by his presence.
Dear friends, every one of us is a pilgrim. We are all drawn forward with purpose along God's path. Not with an We tend to look back on life, sometimes with regrets or hurts, often with thanksgiving and appreciation. And we also look ahead, sometimes with trepidation or anxiety, but always with expectation and hope, knowing too that there are others who encourage us along the way.
The Holy Father said he knows that the journeys that have led many of those gathered to meet him at Regina Pacis have been marked by suffering or trial.
Some of you struggle courageously with disabilities. Others of you have endured rejection. And some of you are drawn to this place of peace, simply for encouragement and support. Of particular importance I know is the center's great success in promoting the rightful place of the disabled in society and in ensuring that suitable training and opportunities are provided to facilitate such integration. For this foresight and determination, you all deserve great praise and encouragement.
Pope Benedict said, while at times it is difficult to find a reason for what appears only as an obstacle to be overcome or even as physical or emotional pain merely to be endured, yet faith and understanding help us to see a horizon beyond our own selves in order to imagine life as God does.
God's unconditional love, which gives life to every human individual, points to a meaning and purpose for all human life. His is a saving love. As Christians profess, it is through the cross that Jesus, in fact, draws us into eternal life. And in so doing, indicates to us the way ahead, the way of hope, which guides every step we take along the way, so that we too become bearers of that hope and charity for others.
The Holy Father told the faithful that unlike the pilgrims of old, he has come not bearing gifts, but with a simple intention, a hope, to pray for the precious gift of unity and peace, most specifically for the Middle East.
Peace for individuals, for parents and children, for communities, peace for Jerusalem, for the Holy Land, for the region, peace for the entire human family, the lasting peace born of justice, integrity and compassion, the peace that arises from humility, forgiveness, and the profound desire to live in harmony as one.
The Pope had a special message for young people.
Dear young friends, to you in particular, I wish to say that standing in your midst, I draw strength from God. Your experience of trials, your witness to compassion, and your determination to overcome the obstacles you encounter, encourage me in the belief that suffering can bring about change for the good.
Exhorting the young people to pray every day for our world, the Holy Father then asked them to pray especially for him during every day of his pilgrimage. I'm Chris Altieri.
Thanks there to Chris for that report on Pope Benedict's meeting at the Regina Pacis Centre in Amman. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English programme for today. Do join us again tomorrow if you can for full details of Pope Benedict's journey there in Jordan. Stay tuned to Vatican Radio now. Laudato Jesus Christus.